Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on words of New Hope.
And so you listen to counsel and accept discipline, and the result is you'll be, what was it? Wise the rest of your life. How many of you believe you can use a little bit more wisdom still in your life? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you believe your neighbor needs a little bit more wisdom? Okay, yeah, you're in trouble now. Yeah, we all need more wisdom. And so God says that process is going to be twofold. The first is you got to listen to counsel.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when a person receives Jesus Christ. But have you ever wondered why our relationship with others don't always get better after we become a Christian? Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us that even though we become Christians, there's still a lot of training and discipline that needs to take place. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Considering and Correcting.
Well, would you take out your notes with me as we talk about tuning ourselves up, something that I just call considering and correcting. And I want to take you back with me about 3 years to a conversation I had with this businessman. And I kind of want to let you in on the session that I had with him, just a kind of a talk with him, and almost like he was asking for advice. And so I just want you to come and listen in. Let me tell you what happened 3 years ago. A businessman came to me and he said, you know, Wayne, I'm in trouble in my marriage. And he says, and the problem is it's fractured. And I have to attest, he was pretty critical in this and critical about that. And it was always pretty contentious. But all that aside, he said, and because of that, my family's falling apart and I get angry real easily. And you know what? Now I'm just depressed all the time. But here's the worst thing about it. He said, Wayne, I read the Bible every day. I read the Bible. Not only that, I go to church. I just came back from a men's camp, and I am a part of a Bible study. I read the Bible every day, and I'm still depressed. What do I do? I read it every day. And so here's his conclusion. He said, so you know what I'm concluding? I'm concluding this. The Bible doesn't work for me. It might work for some other people, but it doesn't work for me. I said, well, let me just share a few things with you. I said, you know, first of all, I said, you're a Christian, right? And he said, yeah, yeah. I said, just checking. And, you know, when you become a Christian, God brings salvation to you and your heart is changed. But you know what happens? When you get saved, your emotions don't get saved. Your emotions are still untrained and often very selfish. Your emotions are renegade and sometimes rebellious. So although salvation has come to your heart, your emotions are still untrained, renegade, rebellious. And worse, I said, if you were trained incorrectly, your emotions now are just, you've got like bags, suitcases filled with untrained renegade emotions, and you come in, your life has changed, your heart has changed, but you got all these untrained emotions that are going to pull you one way or another because they're selfish. And if you were trained incorrectly when you were a little kid, you're going to have renegade emotions that you have patterns built up about, like anger. I said, if you were a little kid and you threw a tantrum in order to get your way, and your parents were kind of compliant, oh, okay, oh, here, here, and they give you what you want, then even though you're a little kid, somewhere down in your little memory banks, you know now that the way to get your way is to throw a tantrum. So now you're 40 years old, 35 years old, 30 years old, and you know what? You still throw tantrums to get your way. It's a little more civilized, it's more subtle, but you still throw tantrums. You see, in a marriage, it comes up, and what will happen is you'll throw a tantrum, but the way you'll do it is you'll use your emotions. You'll use moods, and this is husbands and wives, because husbands do this as well. And what we'll do as husbands is we use our moods to punish each other. And if I don't get my way, okay, you want to do that, then I'm going to kill myself. No, don't do that here. Okay, then. Okay. You see, it is crazy, but we do that. It's horrendous. Okay, if you do that, then I'm going to leave. I'm just going to leave. I don't want to live here no more. Okay. And we throw tantrums like that. And then we get our way. So we think, now we get our way. We get people's attention. We get their emotional support back, you see. Now, here's a dangerous thing. What used to work for you as a kid, if you're not careful, will now work against you as an adult. And what was your friend in the beginning now turns into your enemy, because you can use those emotions that are renegade and kind of get your way for a little while at work with your employees or your boss. But after a while, everybody starts moving away, saying, nah, and then all of a sudden you feel like alone, people are abandoning you, no, everybody's marginalizing you, and then you get discouraged and depressed. You think, what is going on? You see, what used to work for you when you were little now works against you when you're older, and especially when it comes to relationships. So I said to this businessman, you have to remember, the gift of salvation changes your heart. However, not necessarily your emotions. Would you write that in your first one there? The gift of salvation changes your heart, but not necessarily your emotions. So he said to me, well, how do you change your emotions? Can you train them? Can you undo the way they were trained and retrain them for the things of the kingdom? I said, yep. But you have to remember this. Your flesh and your emotions are not going to be affected by salvation. If anything, they're not subject to conversion. That's the word for salvation. Your flesh and your emotions are not subject to conversion. They are only subject to discipline. Would you write that in the second one? Your flesh and your emotions are not subject to conversion. They're only subject to discipline. And in fact, now at the top of our notes, let's take a look and see what the psalmist not only said, but did in Psalm 119, verse 59 through 60. Let's read it with tons of gusto. Ready? Go. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimony. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Now, I want you to see there's a two-part thing here. The first is this. He said, I considered my ways. Underline that. I considered my ways. And then circle the word and, because it moves you to the next part. Then underline, turn my feet to your testimonies. Now here's what David is doing. Now David, you have to remember, is called a man after my own heart. And so here's some of the little glimpses that he shows us, that God reveals to us, that made him a man that was defined by God as a man after my own heart. First he says, I have considered my ways, which means I've considered and looked at God's standard, and then looked, I've considered my ways, and I see the contrast. Because I know he's doing that, because the second part says, and I turned my feet to your commandments. So I know he's looking at God's commandments or God's standard of life, and he considers his ways. Oop, I've got to change some things. And I turned my feet. It's an action. I turned my feet. Not a feeling thing, not an emotion thing. I turned my feet, regardless of what it feels like, to your commandments. And then he says this, I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments, which means it was something I did even if my emotions weren't ready to have it done. I hastened and did not delay. So I considered and I turned. Now, I want you to see with me that this friend of mine was saying, Wayne, I read the Bible, but my depression is still there. My discouragement is still there. The fracturing of my family system is still there. And I read it every day. So obviously I'm concluding that the Bible does not work for me. And this is what I said to him. You know what? The Bible is not a magical book. Just because you read or hear what God says doesn't all of a sudden you become changed. No, this is not a magic book. It doesn't come like wiffle dust doesn't come out of this when you shake it. It's not like you can go over your head like dust and then you come change. You can't go over to your kids, you know, and shake it over your kids and they change. Change to your wife. You know, go to your wife. Yeah, no. It's not a magical book. No. When you read this, would you write in the next one, number two, God will reveal his standards. This is God's standard. This is how God says, if you will match this, all of the blessings and the rewards will flow from it. But you've got to match these standards or consider your ways and turn your feet to his commandments. And so he's going to reveal his standards. But in order for that change to take place in my life and others' lives, especially in mine right now, what we're saying is this: God will reveal his standards. But would you see that there are two parts to healing? Two parts. And I read to him Proverbs 19 and verse 20. And this is going to be a very important verse, just like the first one. So let's read this with mucho gusto. All right? All right. Here we go. Go. Listen to counsel and accept discipline. Why? That you may be wise the rest of your days. Here's the two parts. Underline, listen to counsel. That's the first part. You got to listen to it. You got to hear it. God's standard. You got to recognize it. Now, circle the word and, because there's a second part coming, and then underline, accept discipline. Or in other words, incorporate the disciplines necessary to integrate that counsel into your life. Because if you just listen to it, read the Bible, read it all the time, nothing's changing. Uh-huh. So you've listened to counsel, but have you accepted the disciplines to turn your feet towards that? Because otherwise, your emotions will lead you one way, and if you just kind of follow along, you're going to always be locking horns with the things of God because your emotions are dictating how you're to live. And I said to him, sooner or later, you're going to have to decide what's going to run your life, your feelings or God's will. What's going to be boss, my will or God's will? My emotions or God's standards? What I feel or what I know God has established. You got to decide. Yeah, but my feelings are pretty strong. Sure they are, because you've been feeding them for so many years and following them. But now you have a new Lord and you have to decide what you're going to match up to. Because you can't just believe this and match up to your feelings. You got to bring everything together because healing is a two-part event here. And so you listen to counsel and accept discipline, and the result is you'll be, what was it? Wise the rest of your life. How many of you believe you can use a little bit more wisdom still in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, how many of you believe your neighbor needs a little bit more wisdom? Okay, yeah, you're in trouble now. Yeah, we all need more wisdom. And so God says that process is going to be twofold, both sides. And I said, the first is you got to listen to counsel. This is what he said. Well, you know, I go to a therapist, but sometimes I try to get an appointment with a pastor and I can't get in. I said, you know what? Therapist is not your primary source of counsel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you know what? There's going to be some others that you won't be able to get in with, but they're not your primary source of counsel. So he says, yeah, because I try to get in, sometimes I can't. I says, yeah, let me give you the primary source of counsel, and this office is open 24/7.
Really?
Yeah. Well, what is that? I said, it's God. God will give you the greatest counsel. And you want to know what his words are and his counsel is?
Yeah.
Okay, then write it in here. God's word is his counsel. Would you write that in? God's word is his counsel. Let's read what the scripture says and you'll see. Go. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my... Ooh. Now, here's a cool thing. My emotions usually delight in things that God does not delight in. And my emotions are sorrowful about the things God is happy about. It's almost like the opposite. You know why? Because a lot of times my emotions are selfish, fleshly. And so when I get saved, I got to train them because they're not subject to salvation or conversion. They're subject to discipline. And so I've got to turn these things, even though it's not fun. I've got to train my emotions because they've been trained wrong. So the Bible says, first, you must listen to counsel. Well, God's word is his counsel. And the psalmist says, now I delight in your testimonies. I thought, oh, that's cool. Is there a time I can really start to delight in the things of God? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. But you've got to train your emotions because they're untrained. Well, how does that happen? Well, here's the first. Listen to counsel, I said. For even the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God be adequate and equipped for every good deed. So God's word will be that counsel as you listen to it. Now here's the second part. Now would you write in, but now develop discipline in order for healing and to retrain emotions. You must develop discipline. Let's read Timothy 4:7. Go. Discipline yourself for the purpose of... So you have to listen to counsel or discern his standards, and then what? Accept discipline to turn my feet. Now that's where the problem comes. Because see, I can read the Bible till I'm blue in the face, but until I do anything about my life being out of whack, I will just have an inconsistency in my life. And I'll say, obviously this doesn't work because this hasn't changed. It's not supposed to. You change this. Because you see, if God changed this part here for you, your emotions, then it would require no faith in your life. It has nothing to do with you because it's all done automatically. And it'd be nice if the Bible were this magical book, but the Lord says, then it wouldn't take any faith. I will give you the standard, and then I'll let you choose whether or not you want to tune up to that. Let me put it this way. This is a tuning fork. How many of you have heard like an orchestra or a symphony? Raise your hand. Yeah. Before it starts, you've got tons of instruments, violins, cellos, oboes, all kinds of things. Now, everywhere. Now, what the conductor does, and he does it with a perfect pitch of A, and 440, it's called A440. Now, 440 beats per second, BPS, which means that's the kind of reverberations, 440 exactly, that's pitch of A. And so what he does is he puts this pitch out, or a tone, and everybody tunes up to that. Because you see, in a violin, if you put your finger at this position, it's supposed to be A. But if it's not, it's like A flat, then they tune the string up, keep the position, just tune the string. Same with a flute. If they blow with this finger position, but it's not A, it's A sharp, and they hear that tone, they adjust the long, how long or how short their tube is, and they push it in or pull it out, depending on if it's whether it's sharp or flat, and they hit the position again. It's supposed to be exactly to that pitch. Now, when everybody's doing it, It sounds like a bunch of drunken geese blowing noses. It's bad. But once they get it, then they're all at the same pitch. Now everyone is tuned up to the standard A440 pitch. And when he starts the orchestra, it's a beautiful sound. There's no dissonance. But they've got to tune up. So if he hits that tone, burr, and someone is burr, they don't say, well, obviously your tone doesn't work because it hasn't changed my instrument. No, you set the standard, and what do? I tune up to that. I don't tune this down. I don't say it doesn't work. I have to choose whether or not I'm going to tune up to that. And if one of my valves is stuck on the French horn, I pull it out and clean it, oil it, put it back in, and work it until this thing is in pitch with that conductor. So I want you to hear, this is A440. Listen to this. Can you hear that? That's pitch. A440. So let's see if we can tune up to that, all right? Here we go, everybody. Okay, try it again. Try listen. Okay, all right, here we go. Okay, good. Some of you are tone deaf, but it's all right, it's all right. But, so everybody... So they all tune up to that. Now, God's word is like this A440 pitch. It sets the standard for everybody. And if it's not yours, and if you're having a tuba and you're boo, you don't say, well, that doesn't work for me because it doesn't match. It didn't change my tuba. And it's not designed to change your tuba. Who changes your tuba? You. Why? Because I know what the standard is, and I make that adjustment. And I want to tune up to that. And then when he starts us off, everybody is a symphony and it sounds beautiful. Now, if this tuba is off the pitch, it's okay. You'll sound fine if you play by yourself in the corner. Because you're in tune with yourself, and that's okay. But I tell you, once you go with the symphony, you sound horrible. Everything is dissonant. Now, here's the interesting thing. God doesn't say that you're an island in yourself. He says you're a member of the body of Christ. That's why he sets the standard, and all of us have to match to that. Every single one of us, because it's all about relationships. Because you'll say, I was fine before I was married. Yeah, because you were over there in the corner by yourself playing your tuba. Now you're with relationships and everybody has to tune up to that standard, and then there's beautiful symphony that takes place. Otherwise, it's fractured in relationships. And I said to this businessman, you're listening to this tuning fork all the time. You can listen to it every day. You can have it on your head walking around. But just because you're listening to it doesn't mean everything shapes up. You have to find the areas of your life that are not matching his standards. And even though your feelings are pushing the other way, you tune that stuff up to his standard, because then things start working out in relationships. And you've got to tune up. Doesn't matter if you read the Bible every day. Tune up. So would you write down in your next point there, tune yourself to God's standards. Tune yourself. Because the Bible's not some magical book. It's the standards of God. It's the A440. And the symphony of God tunes up to that. Is it always easy? No. Let's read what it says here. Hebrews 12. Go. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet those who have been trained by it, here it is, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Yeah, afterwards. Now, is it always fun at the beginning when I'm turning my feet towards God's standards and when my emotions say, I want to be depressed? You know what God's standard is? Whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are right and pure and lovely and just and of good report, if there anything be worthy of excellence and if anything be worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Yeah, but I'm depressed. Is your mind doing?
No, thinking about what he did to me.
Well, no, here's God's standard. Change your mind.
I don't feel like it.
Tough. Change your mind. Because you see, your emotions are renegade. They're untrained. And they're going to pull you one way. You got to decide once and for all what you're going to do. God's will or the will of your emotions. God's just going to set the standard. You choose from that point on. And as I say, all right, I'm not thinking about that. And when the thoughts grow that way, I stop them and I think back on what's good and what's right and what's pure and what's lovely and what's a good report. I tell you what'll happen is your emotions will start getting trained correctly. And there'll come a day when you start to delight in God's testimonies, as the psalmist says. Thy testimonies have become my delight. You know, you see something and say, oh man, that's impossible. And the Lord reminds you in his word, here's the standard. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Accept, listen to counsel, accept discipline that you might be wise. There's going to be times I need to go and sit and say, I need to listen to counsel. I need to hear God's word. I need to accept the disciplines. That's his standard. And I just tune everything up. I don't care what my old life feels and how I'm sort of inclined. I tune up. Is it easy at first? No. At first, all discipline is not joyful, but sorrowful. It's tough. But for those who have been trained by it, training my emotions and my feelings to delight in the things of God, what's right and honorable, those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In fact, to just hear the tuning fork and not match up, God says you're going to develop foolishness. In fact, let's read the next one. Go. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Yeah. So is it always easy? No. Sometimes I just tell my mind, don't think that way. And I find myself drifting in thought. Stop. Don't think that way. Think this way. And some people say, in fact, the businessman said, but that's like denying yourself. I said, yeah. Doesn't the Bible say, if anyone wants to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Yeah.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Considering and Correcting by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.